Hello, welcome to the Family Law Cafe podcast. My name is Joanna Toch. I have a business called Family Law Cafe, and we help you get through your divorce, separation, finances, children matter, any family law matter. We help you get through it online, and we often introduce you to our network, and they play a part in your journey. And in this podcast, I'm going to introduce you to Louis Huart, who is a financial advisor. Have I got the pronunciation of your name right?
No, it's Ewart. Sounds like Stuart, but take off the ST at the beginning.
Okay. Yeah. So everyone always asks me how to pronounce my name, and I always say it's only four letters, but it's slightly unusual. So, you know, we're in the same boat here.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna call you Louis.
Yeah,
is that okay?
That's all great.
You call me Joanna.
Yeah.
So we met a few months ago. I was quite intrigued by you, I'll be honest, because you're a young guy in your 20s, very knowledgeable about finances, working as a financial advisor. So just tell me about you. How did you get into this kind of work?
Sure. I've been a part of our family business for a few years now. I'm a third generation financial advisor, so. Our practice started in 1991, and my grandmother, she was the founder, having emigrated from Denmark. Currently we're a team of four. My dad's still running the show. He's got a few years left until retirement. And then we have Chris, another specialist advisor, and Jeremy, our practice manager. Behind that, we have various outsource teams, and, you know, allows us to be very agile. Yeah.
Cool. And that's okay working with your dad, is it?
Yeah, it's a funny one. I do get that question quite often, but yeah, it works really well. What's great is that the clients that he had before, who I now work with, has been a very seamless transition, and we can still, you know, I can still ask him for just his second opinion on what I should do in a certain situation. So, you know what, it's actually a really good way to work with your parent.
Yeah. And also very impressive that it was set up by your grandmother.
Yes. She's still doing really well, bless her. I'm going to see her fairly soon. I always see her sort of once every couple months. She was delighted to see that, you know, I chose to get involved with the business in 2020, and, you know, she was caught by surprise. I think everyone was, really. I'm looking forward to where we go moving forward, and to finding more people to help. Yeah.
And what are your other interests?
Yeah, so when I was 16, I started DJing. I did commercial nights, you know, weddings and birthday parties and what have you. I also picked up squash when I was at university, did a lot of that. And more recently, scuba diving is something that I've given a go. You could say that list is growing, but, you know, just gradually. Yeah.
So, yeah, as I said, very impressive. And what is there any area that you particularly specialize in, or is it kind of the whole area of financial advice?
Yeah, so when a financial advisor sort of sits down with an individual to understand what their circumstance is, they'll be licensed in certain areas. And in my case, I'm a licensed in a broad spectrum of areas, very akin to my dad's sort of licenses. Chris, however, he's got some specific licenses to do with pensions. So it sort of adds a string to our bow as a practice, because if there's anything really technical when it comes to pensions, then Chris is the guy. But yeah, if I was to help an individual, like I've done a lot of intergenerational planning, so post inheritance planning or anything similar to that, then yeah, I would follow a process very similar with most clients. Yeah.
Okay, and so that means that someone coming to your business, they can feel confident that you can, there's someone in the team that can assist in every area.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the case of family law, especially with divorce cases, financial assessments are common, you know. Sometimes there are financial arrangements which are quite difficult to understand, such as some pension schemes. And that's where having the expertise of someone who's licensed, someone who's done a few cases, really comes in, you know, to add value, you know, put someone at rest. So my colleague Chris Bridgman, who's the other sort of main surname in the practice, he's worked on a number of cases where he's actually spoken with the actuaries in a court in further information around the options for a certain pension arrangement, and then actually explain what those options are to a legal team and the implications of taking those options. So that is, again, another really sort of valuable part to our advice. Yeah.
Okay. So in family law, there's obviously particularly financial remedy, which is when people get divorced and they have to split their assets. So marriage is a contract. And so unusually, then you've made that contract with someone that you care about, it comes to an end, and then either parties will agree it between them, and they will often need financial advisors when they're doing it, or it will go to court, and sometimes experts are called in. So let's have a look at some different areas of family law. So in terms of what you've assisted in, can you give us an example of the sort of work that you've done in family law case?
Yeah, of course. So when we sit down with the clients, we basically understand their financial position, so all arrangements that they have and anything that's partly owned. We then also ask what they want to do in the future, and we do spend a lot of time on that. So, you know, we don't actually do a quick run on that. We make sure that we know exactly what we'll do after the financial assessments come through. And it's for us to go away and then find a solution to marry up the two together. And then we come back to the client with a solution.
So yeah. Do you work for one party, or do you sometimes see both the husband and wife?
So we have had, you know, husband and wife as clients, and then they've divorced. So that has happened. And sometimes we just know of someone very well, and then we actually get introduced to, you know, their spouse who's about to go through the divorce themselves. So really, you know, it's introductions or existing clients that we work with. Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of the pension side,
yeah,
so that's Chris's area, isn't it?
Yeah, I say we are all licensed, but Chris has a license in the sort of old type of pension arrangements, and they're still, you know, in existence, and they are quite complex to understand even for people who are members of the schemes. So for someone who is not even a member, who's, you know, going to be in receipt of that pension, Chris is a, you know, great person to be that sort of that translator, if you like. Yeah,
because the thing about pensions is that lawyers, they always want the simple answer, and there's so many different types of pensions, aren't there?
Yeah.
So we always, for a long time, it was on the disclosure form, the form E, about cash equivalent values.
Yes.
And they still have that, but I think now that it's recognised, and there's been reports about this, that you can't always compare one pension to another. So it may be, you know, a husband might have three pensions, a wife might have one, and they're different types of pensions. That would be a very usual example.
Yes.
So do you do pensions reports for the court, or do you assist people to understand their pensions, or do you do both?
The latter. Yeah. The former is really for the actuaries of a pension scheme.
Okay.
So that would happen first, and then we'd be able to, after, you know, looking at the arrangements of the entirety of the arrangements, including things which are not in pensions, so like asset values, house prices, income, expenditure, then we can give our recommendation. Yeah. And there's only a point of charge if someone wants to take the advice and execute it. So all of our time is not billable. So that's just worth
pointing out. Okay, so take me through that. I think that's really important. So if someone, I'm sure that you have lots of people you've assisted for a long, long time. Is that correct? Because obviously this business was set up by your grandmother, and, you know, it's a very long-standing business.
Correct, we still have families going back to, 1991.
Yeah. Wow. And so let's say someone new comes to you. So how do you work? I mean, how do they make payment to you? Or do they come for an advice session, or what happens? How does it work?
When someone's paying for advice, they're not paying out of their income, so they're not paying after tax. So it's very tax efficient in that sense. But also for someone who is like cash tight, which can happen around a divorce, they're not seeing their cash flow, well, their expenditure going up. So there's that benefit as well to this charging structure. As we don't bill for time, someone can just actually get through what they need to do, make as many calls to us as they want. And there's no like hesitation on, will I be billed for this? Yeah.
And what if they just say, they walk away, like, I just don't want to use you?
That's completely fine, you know. We know that does happen, but we, you know, if we really can help someone, we all see to it, yeah.
And is it highly individualised, the advice you're giving them?
Yeah, it's all bespoke, yeah, absolutely. Everything is treated, everyone is treated the same, and the funds we have at SJP, St James's Place, they're all available. It depends on the person's appetite for risk and their time horizon, and we do that, we establish that in conversations. So it's a broad suite available for a client. Yeah.
So this might be of interest to someone that they've gone through a divorce, and so for example, it might be a husband and wife, and the assets might be £5 million, and maybe a house has been sold and they bought new houses, and then let's say the wife has a lump sum of £2 million and hasn't invested before. So is that someone that you could help?
Yeah, exactly. That's textbook. Yeah. And we'd go through the process that I mentioned earlier and offer a recommendation. Yeah.
One thing that comes up in family cases a lot in financial remedy is the court asks for a schedule of outgoings. Are you familiar with that term?
Yeah, so are you talking about expenditure?
Yeah. So schedule of outgoings. And people often say, oh, well, have you got a schedule of outgoings? Like, yeah, I can provide it. But what I say to them is, why don't you go through your bank statements and work out what you spend your money on as a basis on that? Because what the court is asking is, go through all your outgoings now and what your anticipated outgoings are in the future. And this is such a difficult exercise for people.
Yes.
Sometimes people have never done this before.
Yeah.
So anything you can assist with at that stage, do you think?
Yeah, of course. We can, you know, we've got spreadsheets and what have you that we can provide, and, you know, we can show someone how to use a spreadsheet. And that way they can see what their income versus expenditure is, and get a figure of, you know, disposable income. And if it's in the negative, you know, you're spending more than you should, then at least you know what to do. Then you're like, right, I need to find out somewhere where to cut or to make more cash somewhere. So yeah, we can do that. That's sort of part A to many parts of financial planning. So yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, because I see that doesn't happen enough in a way, because what can often happen is, you might have one earner earning, I don't know, 200K, one person earning 35K.
Mm.
It is usually the male earning that and the female. It could be the other way around. Let's just flip it and say, you know, the female's earning 200K, man's earning 35K. And then they're living separately, whereas they haven't been before because they're going through the divorce procedure.
Yeah.
So one person may not have enough money for their outgoings. So you may have to make what's called a maintenance pending suit application or a final maintenance application.
Mm.
So what I find is people haven't really ever done that exercise, or maybe one of the parties have, but the other one hasn't.
Yeah.
So then that's a cash modelling projection, I assume, that you can do.
Yeah, so once we've sort of guided someone how to work out what their actual expenditure is, then we can use that information to build a cash flow model.
Yeah.
And that's something that we've been doing more recently, so sort of pre-pandemic, but certainly as the pandemic came in, technology was used more, so we started using that more. And it's a great way to visualize how far your cash flow can go and your assets into the future. And it makes you use some assumptions around earnings growth rates, inflation, asset price, movements. And we can work out, you know, if there is a shortfall in the future to look out for, such as early retirements, you know, is that possible or not? If it's not possible, how can we make it possible? Those sort of things we can establish with.
So that's really going on to the future, isn't it? So that's probably that's a really interesting exercise for people, isn't it? And sometimes courts say we want to capitalise maintenance, because people don't really like paying maintenance the other party after they get divorced.
Yeah.
So they might. So one party might say, well, I need £1 million as a lump sum. So I suppose by doing your modelling, you might show how that money would be used and how long that person could live on that money.
Correct, yeah. And,
okay.
If invested in the correct tax wrappers, such as ISAs, pensions or investment bonds, then you know that could be even more sustainable. So that's another sort of a key benefit of advice. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's incredibly useful for people. And I think I've seen this, I think you're showing this to me, they have a graph. And so sometimes there might be, for example, school fees that you'd incorporate into that, because yeah. that's another factor. And of course, the court can make a school fees order. So all of this information is incredibly useful
yeah.
for the decision maker. So let's say there's £2 million or whatever they have that you can see. So would you then show a model of, I suppose the school fees are going to finish at a certain time, and then how long that money is going to last?
Yeah, exactly. And school fees, we can build it quite easily as a future expense. And again, it's a great way. The tool we use is a great way of visualizing any shortfalls that arise during those years. And you know, at least you've got time to prepare for either looking at maybe another school or just finding other assets elsewhere that are not in the model. You know, in the future, such as someone having ambition to, you know, run their own business. Now they've got some, you know, a bit more bandwidth after a divorce, and therefore generates more cash flow. They've all can afford school fees, you know. So that sort of stuff we can do on the fly, add into the model, have regular catch ups on an annual basis, and if that's really important, then we can plan for it. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you get people that come to you that are just really scared about money? Do you know what I'm talking about? Some people say, no idea.
Yeah, it does happen. And, you know, I empathise. It's going into a subject that's quite vast and, you know, so many terms, it is a bit scary. I think it's even harder when you've been, and I'm not been in this position, but been married for a while, and then suddenly you have to make all the decisions. So that's why it's really rewarding as an advisor of all the cases that you can actually, you know, carry someone through the divorce process, and, you know, be there holding hand, show them the light in terms of the finances, and they can just sort of sit back a bit and go, right, things are fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's one of the most rewarding areas of the advice market, actually.
Have you always felt very confident about money, because coming from your background?
Yeah, and also when I was, you know, DJing at 16, I was commercially aware from the get-go. So I was sort of, you know, cash positive. So I've been working with my family for a while, so it's for family values and all of that. So I would say all good. Yeah.
Because going through a divorce or change, separation, again, it's a time when people can perhaps change their preconceptions about money. They might have said to themselves, oh, I always, you know, money's a problem.
Mm.
Money's the root of all evil. Or, you know, I let's not talk about money. I mean, there's so many sort of myths bound up about money. I don't know if you find that with people coming to you, that they, for no particular reason, they find money problematic. And so do you feel that you can give them that confidence?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about breaking money down into the different terms, and if we start with expenditure and versus income, then you can start to see that two are actually very independent, and they're movable. So I think if you can start to see that you have control on either of those elements, then it's like a bit more of a thing you have responsibility for, and therefore can own and solve. I think, you know, people who shy away from money, it's probably because they're in denial of an issue and they don't want to put their hands around it. But you know, our help, we can educate a bit, and someone can actually move with that and go, actually, yeah, I can look at that. I can move things around, and yeah.
And do the people that come to you stay with you for a long time?
Well, yeah. So other examples of people who have been around, if we go back to obviously the start, you know, we've got, you know, second, third generation clients now. So I work with a number of individuals who are in from sort of the age of 18 to 85, who have been handed over to me. And across the board, in every family, there's you know, two or three generations in that client base. So yeah, you know, it's fair to say people do stay around for decades. Yeah, which is cool.
And so how do you see this going? I know you've had a rebrand, haven't you, with your company?
Yes. So we're now Ewart and Bridgman Advisors. Yeah. So Ewart being our family name and Bridgman being Chris's surname. And we thought it was a good time to make a rebrand. We've had a few changes internally, and we also wanted just to truly understand our clients' values. So put out a survey, got the feedback, and it was very clear that people like the personal element to it. So we've gone for a change of surnames, and we're now Ewart and Bridgman Advisors.
And it's under the St. James's Place umbrella. And I think people that don't know about that, St. James's Place is a very big organisation and they have various products, don't they? So that would be, so you would be giving that personal advice and attention with the umbrella organisation, making sure everything that was offered was very secure and properly based.
So the role that SJP, also known as St. James's Place, play is that they have an investment committee of 10 or so experts who basically decide how the funds should be run, and in terms of the sort of product range, it's very standard. So ISAs, pensions, investment bonds, and a few other things which are very niche, which I can mention depending on the client's case another time. Basically SJP, they monitor both ends, so the funds and the products, and they make changes to make sure we're adding value to clients' lives. There's a lot to that, and for each client, it depends on their risk appetite. So whatever I say to them might be different to what I say to someone else. So that sort of stuff we talk about in detail. Yeah.
It's a great luxury, isn't it, don't you think, that someone can come to you and get that really bespoke, tailored advice just for them? And is there any rush on this, or it's just something that takes its time?
It does take its time. We have no deadlines, internally. I can't think of anything really that would stop us moving things along. But when you are working with other sort of money managers, if you like, if people want to call them those, then putting in information for requests and requests for information and postage and all that does take time. So that's sort of out of our control. But where possible, we'll speed things along for individuals, because we know that cases such as divorces, they do drag on. Yeah.
Okay. And so just to finish now, what's a question that you think I should have asked and I haven't asked?
Yes, it's asked so many questions. Let's have a think just for a moment. I suppose we've covered sort of the background of the business, who we work with, St. James's Place. We talked about the charges. Another thing could be regulation. Go with that?
Yeah, tell me about that. Tell me, so you're regulated, but what does that mean?
Yeah, so the Financial Conduct Authority, they authorise and regulate St. James's Place, and I'm an appointed representative of the firm. So I'm regulated through St. James's Place. And what we've seen in recent times is a sort of new principle come out from the FCA around consumer duty. And that's really relevant for clients who are going through a divorce. They are deemed as vulnerable in the eyes of the FCA. And in that principle that was released in this time of filming, so 2023, I think the word vulnerable was mentioned 100 times or more. So there's real emphasis around making sure that we can evidence a duty of care. So that's probably the most relative way I could talk about regulation at the moment. Apart from that, everything's documented.
Okay, well, it's been lovely to talk to you.
Likewise, thanks so much.
I'm sure we'll meet up again, and thank you for coming to see me.
Thank you, Joanna.